Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Three keys to overcoming addiction. Number one, there is a God who is there for you, and Jesus Christ is there to forgive your sins. Number two, you have your human nature that you need to overcome, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Number three, there is Satan, the devil, and the demons who want to keep you enslaved to addiction, whatever the drug is, whatever the habit is. And you must recognize and identify it, and you must confess it. Now, here's a problem that you have not faced. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of a man or a woman are clean in his own eyes. You think that this sin, of course you don't look at it as sin, you know you're doing wrong, but you think you can get away with it and be clean. Now, you can't be doing that anymore. You must forsake it. You must repent of it. And repentance means stop, turn around, and go the way of God. Now, that involves some pretty deep things in your life. That involves your mind, your emotions, your thoughts, everything about you, because you have saturated your life with evil. And thinking that you can get away with it, thinking that there would be no penalty come upon you. And if you've been an addict for a long time, look at yourself in the mirror and look at your face and look at your eyes and look at how thin you are and look at when you have the shakes and everything is there and you don't know what to do except get another fix. You better get on your knees and come to God. And here is how you should repent. Psalm 51 starts out this way, "Have mercy upon me, O God." And God is there for mercy, and you need a lot of mercy, and you need a lot of forgiveness, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Look at what you've done to your life. Look at what you've done to other people's lives. Look at what you have done to those who love you. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your husband, all are involved. Now, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How is that done? That's done by using the Word of God as the washing of the water by the Word to cleanse your mind, to reprogram your mind. And another part of the washing of the Word is that when you come to really deep repentance and you really follow through with God, then you need to be baptized. And baptism then will blot out all of your sins. But here is what you need to do, verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. The sin. Now, David here at this point had committed many sins. But what is the sin? The sin is thinking you're right or thinking what you're doing is clean in your own eyes and thinking that you can get away with it.
What are you doing here, sir?
Nothing much. I'm just waiting for my friend.
What's your friend's name?
My friend's name is Raj.
Is he staying at the hotel here?
No, he came to meet someone over here, so I'm just here to pick up my wallet because I forgot my wallet in his car.
What's in the baggie that was on your lap?
Where?
The plastic bag that fell off your lap?
No idea. I sat over here and then I fell asleep and then...
And you woke up with that on your lap?
Yes.
Is that maybe something that could help you fall asleep or...
No.
Is your ID in this wallet that you said your friend had?
That's not my ID.
I can see a driver's license right here?
You can see it. You can pull it out.
Okay. And this is not yours?
I don't know if that was identification.
What is this?
I have no clue. Oh, my God.
Have you used drugs before?
Only weed. Are you guys going to release me or?
You're higher than you think.
No, no. It's because I had a monster drink. I don't know if that does it.
Your tongue's pasty white.
I was telling him that I just got done eating.
Have you used your phone today? Who's Susan?
Susan, I have no proof.
You have snow and weed, baby, and we can party a little.
Snow and weed, baby, and party a little? I'm sorry, that wasn't mine. That wasn't mine. Who is this message by?
No baby, 100 for an hour, so it sounds like haggling on her price.
This isn't on my... That's all I gotta say. I mean, I don't... Unless you want me to make up stuff.
Absolutely not.
There you go. Totally being honest.
Now, what I want to do right now is we're going to do something very important. On the last segment, we played the delusion of drugs. Now we're going to play it again because this is so important. You have to realize the destruction that you have done to yourself and others. I destroy homes, tear families apart, take your children, and that is just the start. I am more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow that I bring is a sight to behold. If you need me, remember, I am easily found. I live all around you, in school and in your town. I live with the rich. I live with the poor. I live down the street and maybe next door. My power is awesome. Try me, you'll see. But if you do, you may never break free. Try me just once and I might let you go. But try me twice and I will own your soul. When I possess you, you will steal and you will lie. You do what you have to just to get high. The crimes you will commit for my narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you'll feel in your arms. You will lie to your mother, you will steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad. But you will forget your morals and how you were raised. I will be your conscience. I will teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. People turn from God and separate from friends. I will take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I will always be with you, right by your side. You will give up everything, your family, your home, your friends, your money, and all that you own, and then you will be alone. I will take and I will take until you have nothing more to give. When I'm finished with you, you'll be lucky to live. But if you try me, be warned, this is no game. If given the chance, I will drive you insane. I will ravage your body. I will control your mind. I will own you completely. Your soul shall be mine. The nightmares I will give you while lying in bed. The voices you will hear from inside your head. The sweats, the shakes, the visions you will see. I want you to know these are all gifts from me, author unknown. And do you want to save your soul and your life and your spirit from the clutches of Satan the devil and that addiction and that lawlessness and that rebellion against God and everyone who loves you? Here's what David did. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me against you. See, because sin is first against God. And you've been suffering the results of sin because you have not had God in your life, or you have left him, or you have rebelled against him, or you don't believe in God. Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. Think of how evil your life has been. Think of how evil all of these things have been, that you might be justified when you speak and be right when you judge. Now, that's very important to understand. Let's come to Joel, the second chapter. Let's see how you need to turn to God. You just don't come to God and say, oh, God, forgive me, and then get up and go your way and back to your addiction. You know, it's like those who are alcoholics and they go to Alcoholics Anonymous and they pick up a substitute addiction, sweets, and that's just as bad in their system as the alcohol. So I don't know what some people do to overcome some of the drugs. I know a man who had a terrible problem with drinking. I don't know if he was involved with drugs or not. But what he did, every time he got an urge, then he was able to handle it by doing this. He got V8 juice, grapefruit juice, pineapple juice, and on occasion, fresh carrot juice. And he would drink one of those drinks when he got the urge. Now, how that works with the body is this. Your body has an urge, so you give it that good juice, and your body accepts it, and the urge is assuaged. So if it comes back again, do it again. Get a different drink. Don't get orange juice because it's too sweet. Grapefruit juice, pineapple juice, V8 juice, or you could also add tomato juice. That will do another thing for you that will help put some vitamin C and nutrition in your body that you need because of all the drugs that you have taken. But here is what you need to do emotionally, mentally, and from the heart. You can't fool God. Joel 2 and verse 12. Therefore, even now, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Yes, cleanse your system. Come to God. Recognize that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and him being nailed to that cross, and his shed blood, and beating, and scourging, and the stripes that he took, paid for your wretched sin, and God will blot them out. God will remove them from you. But you've got to turn to God this way. Notice. Yes, rend your heart and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents of the evil that you have inflicted upon yourself because you've gone against God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, what else do you need to do? Come over here to Isaiah 55. Now, in this repentance and coming back to God, as I mentioned, you've got to study the book of Proverbs. And then you need to read the Gospel of Mark. Now, the Gospel of Mark is very important because it contains the teachings of Jesus, and it's the easiest of the Gospels to read. So you know what God is going to do. And when you read that, understand that Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament, the one that we're reading about right now. So here in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, because if you don't repent, you're not going to find him. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. And you being addicted to drugs and a drug addict, you are wicked. And this is the way you have to forsake. And there are many other things that you also have to forsake in addition to it. And we'll see one of them in a minute. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, all of the self-justification, all of the urging to get this drug and to satisfy it so you can get rid of the shakes and get rid of all the things that are against you, but they just come back with more intensity. You must forsake all of that and ask God to help you. Notice, and let him return to the Lord. We'll see how you start to return. I've already given you some of that with understanding the book of Proverbs.
Because when you inject with meth, you get this cough, like this toxic cough. I felt it injecting. I was coughing this toxic fume of meth. I was just like, Dad, we're going to the hospital.
Hi, I'm Michael Kamansky. I'm 20 years old. My parents are Ukrainian immigrants. They came here about 23 years ago, but I was born here in Sacramento, California. Started smoking weed after a while, drinking, and then started getting into harder drugs, pills, harder drugs, and eventually I was addicted to heroin and methamphetamine for about last year of my life.
You know, at this certain point in the hospital, I was like, I know I need help. I know I need help. And my dad's like, okay, you're going to rehab tomorrow.
It was really hard for me to come, but finally I summed up the strength and I said, fine, I'll go. Because I myself did not know I had I wouldn't want to admit that I had an addiction problem. The first 2 days I was violently throwing up, just all the chemicals out of my body. It was a very unpleasant experience. And also coming from meth, all the meth was coming out of my pores. My entire room smelled like battery acid.
Basically, I've been a student here for about 4 months now. I got about 2 months left in the program. I'm going to probably most likely serve here at the center or wherever God leads me.
But yeah, every morning we wake up at 6:45. We have our prayers. We have breakfast. After that, we have like 20 minutes. Then we have Bible study for an hour. After Bible study, we do work hours, 6 hours. And in between those 6 hours, we have lunch for 30 minutes. We have an hour of free time to do whatever, take a shower, read the Bible, pray. And then after that, we have Bible study again.
And he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now notice this, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. But his way is written here in the Bible. The Bible contains the printed voice of God, so you can know, what do I need to do? And that's why you need our book. Lord, what should I do? You got to stop and turn around and go God's way. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now verse 11, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and will certainly do what I sent it to do. Now then, let's see what you have to do. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Now, remember this. The Bible tells us the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what you have gone through with all your addiction and destruction that you have left all around you, you better fear God. Because those penalties came because you went against God. So he says here, verse 13, keep hold of instruction. And that's what's in the book of Proverbs. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. You must get the instructions of God. Don't give in to the thoughts. Don't give in to the urges. Don't let yourself collapse back into addiction, because the end of that will be worse than the beginning. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. That's what you did in taking the drugs and buying it. And go not into the way of evil men. Disassociate yourself from anyone that you had connected with any drugs or any addictive things at all. Return to God. It says here, avoid it. Do not go in it. Turn from it and pass on. Why? Because here's the truth of the matter of these evil people, especially the drug dealers. Verse 16, for they do not sleep when they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused someone to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now that's how it's been with you and with those selling the drugs to you. But here's the other thing that you need to understand. If you're going to come out of it, you've got to say no. You have to turn from it. You have to avoid it. You have to get rid of it. You have to ask God to cleanse your mind. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. And that perfect day is successfully being a Christian and attaining the day of resurrection, the first resurrection, when Christ returns. The way of the wickedness is as darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. And they always operate at night, don't they? In the darkness. My son, attend to my words. This is God talking to you. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to what God has to say. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Reprogram your mind, reprogram your heart with the Word of God, and come to God and be baptized and receive His Holy Spirit. And as you study the Word of God and pray to Him, He's going to write it in your mind and in your heart and replace all of that wickedness with His goodness. You may have some thoughts of it going back, but remember, once you have left it, you must leave it. You cannot go back. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. You will regain your health. And don't you want that? Yes, indeed. Now, here's the key. Verse 23. Above all, above everything else that there is, guard the door of your mind and heart. Applies to both. How do you guard it? You don't give in to the temptation. You turn away from those who want to drag you back into it. You don't let your mind wander into the things concerning your past sins and drugs, turning away from God. And you're going to have to repent every day, every day. Ask God for help. It will be there. Above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. That means you must discipline yourself. Discipline your thoughts. Cast the evil thoughts away. Don't let them come in and rattle around in your mind and you sort of entertain it by sort of getting close to it, but thinking you'll be able to get away. No, you won't. Because Satan is going to be there to entrap you again. Do not do it. Now notice, with diligence, for or because out of it, out of your mind, are the issues of life. Now think about that. You've been going the way of death. Now you've got to go the way of life. And you can't intermingle the two. And you must discipline your mind to stop it. And that's what it says here, verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Keep your mind on the goal. No drugs. Verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways shall be established. Do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now come over here to chapter 3, verse 5, and let's see what you need to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, because that is what got you in trouble. Thinking you could do it. Thinking you could get away with it.
News 8 first brought you the story last week. Monsignor Kevin Wallen of St. Augustine's Cathedral Parish in Bridgeport arrested for his part in a meth drug ring. Federal authorities charged Wallen with distributing methamphetamine, and they say some of those drug sales happened here at Wallen's apartment in Waterbury. Authorities say Wallen would then launder the money through this adult sex shop that he bought in North Haven. The diocese says parishioners expressed concern about Monsignor Wallen's strange behavior. Sources tell the Connecticut Post, while still a pastor, Wallen was seen dressed as a woman and was visited by other men dressed as women. They allegedly engaged in sexual acts with the Monsignor in the cathedral's rectory.
Now here, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Think of that. God will lead you, but you must study his word. You must pray. And that's why, if you are just coming out of addiction or want to come out of it, you've got to study Proverbs over and over and over and over to get your mind cleansed, to get your thoughts in the right direction, to get your heart in the right place. Now, verse 7. Here's what got you in trouble before. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Those are the beginning steps of turning away from addiction and coming to God and having your life turned around and cleaned up so that you can love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being, and all of the wretchedness and misery and terrible things you have gone through will become a past event. So be sure to write for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? And begin studying the book of Proverbs. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.